This is her last week. This is week number six and her last week on our study of the book of Colossians. However, it is also the 4th of July, which means what? Independence Day. We got freed. We got freed from some crazy people back in England a few years ago. Just a couple years ago. And we celebrated on this day. Amen? But guess what? That's not the best kind of freedom we can have. Amen? The freedom that we have in Jesus Christ far and exceeds any pleasure that we can get on this earth. Amen? It far and exceeds anything that we could ever do. To be free in the Lord is to be free indeed. Amen? I'm going to open it up. This is not part of our message today, but it is a scripture that will tie in with being free. Amen? So your first scripture today is going to be out of the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1. Long way into Galatians. Galatians 5:1. I'm going to share this chapter with you on this Independence Day. The NIV version says it this way. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Amen. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Amen. A yoke of sin. When we turn ourselves over to God, we got freedom from all that sin. That was our slavery. That's what we were a slave to, was sin, before we met Jesus. And I'm glad that He gives us the freedom to get rid of that. Because I don't know about you, but I had a heavy yoke of sin and slavery from that around my neck. I used to walk like the old people back in the day. Y'all don't see much of them anymore, but there used to be people that they called hunchback. And they would walk like kind of like that. If you can't see me at home, kind of like that. That's how heavy my sin slavery felt that I had around my neck before I met Jesus. Boy, let me tell you though, when I said yes, He said, it's gone.
Amen.
He said, you're free.
Yeah.
Amen. You ain't got to worry about that no more. No, we still got to pull ourselves back and say, oh yeah, I remember. Hey, you're free. You're free. You don't have to remember it. It's gone. Amen. The only person who will try to get you to remember is Satan. When he comes back and says, hey, you remember when you did? No. I don't know what you're talking about, devil. I don't know what you're talking about, imp. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm free. Jesus set me free. I ain't got to worry about this stuff in the past. Amen? I seen a quote on TV the other day. I think it went this way. Or maybe it was on Facebook. But maybe it went this way. Satan trying to bring up your past is like a thief trying to steal your house that you don't live in anymore. Satan trying to bring up your past is like a thief trying to steal from you in a house that you don't live anymore. It's gone. Amen. You ain't got to worry about it. You're free. I'm glad of that. Amen. And I thank the revolutionary people that battled. Because they were crazy people. England was crazy people back then. Amen. It was a battle. And I'm glad that they stood firm. And founded our country on the principles of God. Amen. And developed that basis for us. And I thank Him today for the Independence Day that we celebrate. Amen. All right. Y'all ready to get in the message? Somebody say amen if you're ready to get in the message.
Amen.
Amen. Again. Last week in the book of Colossians. Scripture this week when we get to it. We're not there yet. But it's going to be Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. Colossians 3, 1 through 11. You at home, if you didn't hear that, Colossians 3, 1 through 11, when we get there. Amen. But the title of today's message. Hey, I'm gonna tell you something. I was watching a pastor on TV this morning, and they messed up like that. They said, you know how it says that God knows how many hairs are on our head? When he started, he said, well, you know, God knows how many heads are on our hair. So when I mess up like that now, I'll be like, yeah, boy. Sorry, I'm not the only one that does it. Amen. But the title of today's message is Your Identity. How many of y'all know you got an identity? How many of y'all like some identity every once in a while? Amen. Hey, even after we get saved, we can still lose and get lost in our identity if we allow Satan to slip in. Amen. But today we're going to talk about, y'all ever traveled to places? Like constantly, like some place you go like every year that you like to go, like a family trip or something. Like, might be somewhere here in West Virginia. Might be like I like going to the Outer Banks. I don't get to go every year anymore. But when you go, it's like you always find something new. You always find something new. It's like, I didn't know that was here. And it's been there forever. It's been there before, longer than you've been alive. But it's the first time that you've seen it. Amen? So you do find interesting things whenever you're traveling through. Every time you're there, you notice something interesting. I still haven't figured them all out. I guarantee you there's still things at the Outer Banks to do and places to eat. Y'all know I like to eat, right? And places to eat that I haven't seen or haven't figured out yet. But it happens every time. Amen? And every time you get there, when we go, I don't know about you, but when we go, they know we're from West Virginia. Amen. Because nobody else in this great country of ours that was established on God principles has what they call a West Virginia hillbilly accent. We sound like us. Amen. We don't sound like we're from Florida. Well, city boy might. But we don't sound like we're from New York. We definitely don't sound like we're from California. They lost their minds out there. We sound like we from West Virginia. They know where we're from by our accent. Amen. And I always thought that being from here, we don't have typical American accents. Other states can mix and mingle accent and not be able to be told apart. But we don't. Amen. But the people there, the people where we go out of state, can easily identify us, can't they? They see us, they hear us, they interact with us, and they can easily identify us. Oh, your country from West Virginia. Some people would say redneck from West Virginia. Amen. I say hillbilly. You're hillbilly from West Virginia. They know by our accent, don't they? They know because that makes our identity to them. Our accent makes our identity to them. So they recognize it. No matter who's going down, whether it's me or somebody else from here, they're going to be like, yeah, I've heard that hillbilly hick accent before. Oh, I said hick. I'm sorry. But they recognize it, don't they? They see it as an identity of people from West Virginia. And identity is what we're going to focus on today, amen? As we continue to talk through Colossians, we're going to talk about identity. Let's recap a little bit about the setting of the Colossian church back then. Colossae was a Roman city located in Asia Minor. It's what we know now as Turkey. It was a typical Roman city. Almost everybody was pagan. They had their gods and their religions. They worshipped the sun. They worshipped the moon. They worshipped all types of gods. All the these religions incorporated all types of immoral things in their worship. In this city, it was a city, that a man lived by the name of Ephorus. Ephorus had been in another city, Ephesus. I probably didn't say that right now. I apologize for that. While he was there, he ran into some dude named Paul. Y'all remember Paul, right? He ran into Paul. Paul was teaching about another guy, one different than all those that Ephorus had knew about. Paul was saying there was only one God, not multiple gods, not God of morning, not God of night, one God. Amen? One God. Paul said all the other gods were nothing but figments of men's imaginations. Paul said that God came, lived, and died to save mankind. Paul said, by trusting in this God, your sins were forgiven. By trusting in this God, you would live forever with Him. That this God wanted a real and personal relationship with every single person. Ephorus believed Paul and his teachings. And he believed in that one God. And he became a Christian. Amen. He was so caught up in his relationship with God that he couldn't keep his mouth shut. How many of y'all are out there running your mouth for God every day? Amen. You should be. You should be so involved in that relationship that you can't keep your mouth shut about it. So when he got back home to close, he started telling others about the real God. Not their fake gods. Amen. Not their figments. But the real, one, true God. A few of the others believed too. Out of these few, a church was born. It was tough being a Christian in a Colossian environment though. The pagan society was still the majority. And they didn't take kindly to people who suggested that there was another God. A real God. Amen? Compared to those, theirs. They didn't like to be told they would be wrong. They could be wrong. They were just putting pressure on the little Colossian church to get back in line with all the pagan rituals. All the pagan gods. Amen. To confirm and conform to society. And what society said they should be. And some within the church started adding to the message that Ephraim heard from Paul. They were saying there was more to it. There had to be more hard and fast rules about following God. Some others were saying there was a different way to God and that they held the secret of how to get to Him. I hear some of that false teaching today, don't you? I can get you to God. I'm the only way you can get to God. No. Jesus is the way to get to God. Jesus is the only way to get to God. I can't get you there. I can only get me there. But I can tell you about it. Amen. I can tell you about the relationship with Him. The little church of Colossians was feeling intense pressure from within itself and from without itself within the city. Amen. Paul heard about that intense pressure that the Colossian church was feeling. So he wrote them a letter to help them better understand what was going on. And he wanted them to know how to maintain their faith in the middle of the firestorm. How many of y'all know that God, Jesus, and a relationship with Him is the only way that we can maintain a true faith, an unwavering faith in our Lord and Savior in the middle of anything that we go through. Amen. No matter what Satan throws at you, if you got a true abiding faith in Him, He'll never get to you. Amen. We've been talking about all that for the past 5 weeks. Last week we saw where Paul warned the Colossians to steer clear of two groups in particular. Those groups were bombarding the Colossians with misinformation. Amen. One group was denying the existence of God. They saw the world through the lens devoid of God. So anything went. It was a me world, in other words. Whatever I feel like doing is okay, because there is no Godhead. So anything went. If there's no real God, then who would you have to answer for? All you have to do is please yourself. Amen? And if there were many gods, then you were at the mercy of those who claimed to speak for those gods. The other group was hung up on tradition and religion. They were setting up strict rules and regulations. They were building a religion of secret knowledge and vision. They were all shouting that they were right, and everyone else was wrong. How many of y'all know people that say they're the only ones that's right, everybody else is wrong? Amen? Hey, we've got some religions out there that are like that, or that are preaching that right now. We're right, everybody else is wrong. Paul says, found last week, Paul says, stay away from both of them. You can say hi to them, but don't associate with them. Amen? Stay away from both. Neither one of these groups have gotten anything right. Stay away. Don't let either group define you. That's not who you are. Amen? You're Christians. You are Christians. They were Christians. You're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You look different than everybody else. Amen? You look a little bit different. You look a little peculiar. I used to hate that word. Now I don't mind it so much. I'll be peculiar to Jesus. If something says, hey, something's a little bit different about him, a little peculiar, I want to know about it. I'm okay with that now. You act different. You live different. Amen? If we're truly living the Word of God, if we're truly living what our mouth says, then we look different, we act different, we live different. 24/7. Amen? So up to this point, Paul has told them who they aren't. Amen? Now he's about to tell them who they are. He's about to define them as Christians. He's about to say, this is who you are. This is your identity. This is how everybody will know who you are. Not my hick accent. Amen. Although that may help. But no, it's something totally different. Amen. And here's what Paul tells them. Colossians 3. 1 through 11. I have an NIV version. And it says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then also will you appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and is in all. Amen? Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your scripture today, Lord. Lord, as always, I ask that you get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, that your Holy Spirit speak through me, Lord. Lord, it be your word spoken and not mine today, Lord. Lord, I ask that you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the message that you have us today, Lord, about what our true identity is, Lord. Lord, as we wrap up in the book of Colossians, Lord, may we have come out of it with a deeper understanding, Lord, of how we should truly be acting and persuading our world today, Lord. Lord, how our lives reflect you through us, Lord, or the lack of you through us, Lord. Lord, we ask you just to be with us through the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. That was some good scripture, wasn't it? So let's see what Paul says about the identity the Colossians now have. But before you do, or before we do, let's answer a question. This applies to me in the 21st century of this church. How? How does it apply? Amen. What has all this stuff that happened 2,000 years ago got to do with me? That's two good questions, ain't it? Two pretty good questions. It applies because we as Christians, that we call ourselves Christians, find ourselves in the exact same spot that the Colossian church was 2,000 years ago. We live in a society that's trying to squeeze God out of it. Amen? Many deny the very existence of God. They do live void of God. And we see the results of a society that denies the existence of God altogether. Anything goes. It's a me world, not a God world that people are living. Amen? Do whatever we want. It's okay. I ain't got to worry about it. If I don't have to worry about a God, I can live. I can do whatever I want. I can be as mean to people if I want. I can steal stuff. Yeah, no, you can't. But we can get to that here in a little bit. Do whatever you want. Except, y'all would like this. You at home would like this too. Do whatever you want. Except be a Christian. That's the way society wants us to live. That's the same way the Colossian church was 2,000 years ago. They wanted us to do everything they wanted except be a Christian. We live in an era where denominations are becoming religions rather than Christianity. Those of us who belong to Jesus are pulled in all different directions. Society pressures us from without. Religion pressures us from within. So Paul has to say, so what does Paul have to say to the Colossian church 2,000 years ago directly applies to each one of us today. Amen. He tells the Colossians, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. The way the world wanted them to live is not who they are. They have a new identity, and so do we. Amen. And God tells us we're not like society today. We're not like religion today. We have a different identity. When you have an identity in Christ, you have a different identity than what the world sees in you. Amen. As Christians, this is who we are. This is our standing as believers. This is our identity now. Amen. You are not who you used to be. I am not who I used to be. I am not mean old Ronnie. Amen. You're not mean old you. We have a new identity. At one time, you were part of the society around you. But your identity, you're identified, and you were identified with those things. Others in society saw you as part of them. You followed their maps. You lived that life. I lived that life, amen, before I met Jesus. But you are not who you used to be. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Jesus came storming into your life, didn't he? He came rushing in, flowing through, amen. He changed you, amen. Verse 3 says you died. We died. We died when Jesus came through. Amen. That you died The you that died, there it is the you that you used to be. The Ronnie that died is the Ronnie that I used to be. Amen? That person's gone. I still look like him. I act like him some. But it has a Christian tone when I act that way. Amen? Not the way I used to act. But that person's gone. That identity is dead and buried. Amen? That's what Jesus did on the cross. When we accept Him, our old identity is dead and buried and left in the tomb. It don't rise back up. Amen? You can't be the same person anymore or be that person anymore. You can't go back and undie. Amen? So don't try and go back to who you were. It will never be the same. You're aware of things now that you didn't know then. So let that go. Let that past go. Let that old you go. Let the new you live. Amen? Don't let anybody talk back to you or talk you back into your former life. Don't give in to that pressure pull. Because I know we got friends that are saying, hey, let's go somewhere. Let's so and so. Let's go to the bar. Let's go west side. Hang out. Let's go steal something. Yeah, we had friends like that, didn't we? We got that peer pressure pull. Hey, it's not just the kids that have peer pressure. We adults face it too. Amen? I still face it today. We all have that peer pressure. But we have a Jesus that says, let it go. Let it go. You were there once. But that's not who you are now. I was there once. But that's not who I am now. We have a new identity. When we accepted Jesus, we got a new identity. Amen? We've been raised with Christ. The you that died with Christ has also been raised with Christ. You have resurrected life. You're different. Your life is different. Amen? God brought you to life for a reason. It wasn't just a set on a knot on the log. God brought you to life for a reason. He wants you to experience a different life, a new life. Only He can give. He raised you to make a difference in the society that you came from. He raised you to life to bring Him glory and honor. Not to still honor Satan in the world. Amen? He raised you to know Him in intense love and relationships with Him. Your new life is your new identity. Your life is hidden in Christ. In other words, your life is Christ's life. My life is Christ's life. It's not mine. Amen? You live for Him. You live in Him. You live in His, your life is His life. You live a brand new life in the power and guidance of Jesus Christ. Your identity is Jesus. Amen? That is our new identity. Our old self is gone and Jesus remains. Amen? You're being renewed by Christ. You're not a static person. You're not just sitting there. Amen? You're not just to sit in the pews or sit at home and listen to the service. You're to move. You're not static. You're to get going. Amen? God is making you newer and newer every day. He's making you into a little Jesus. If we're spending time with Him, living with Him, loving on Him, growing that relationship in Him, He's making us a little Jesus. And that's okay, isn't it? That's okay. I can be a little Jesus. How about you? And Paul doesn't stop just defining our identity. He tells us our identity shows our lives. The Dutch, or or the Outer Banks people identified us as West Virginians because they saw us and heard us and heard our accent. Something that stood out so much that they had no problem knowing who we were and where we were from. Paul says our identity should stand out. As Christians, there should be no problem for those who see us get where we are. He points out the areas of our lives that should stand out because of being belonging to Christ. Our lives should reflect the reality of the identity change that we experienced in following Jesus. Amen. Our pursuit of earthly nature is dead. When we turn that leaf over, when we accept Jesus, when we're made into that new creation, our earthly nature is dead. Verse 5 says to put to death our earthly nature. What in the world is an earthly nature? Living like the world. Loving like the world. Amen. We're supposed to kill off our lives now. Our old lives now that we identify with Christ. What shouldn't exist in a Christian lives that exists in the rest of society. Paul gives us a few things that could die in our lives now that we're Christians. Verse 5 gives us a few things to kill. Amen. Y'all heard that? Sexual immorality. Ooh, that's a hard one, ain't it? Impurity. Lust. Evil desires. Greed. That pretty much sums up to the one word, don't it? Idolatry. We're to put those things away. Amen? Those things should die in our lives when we become Christians. Idolatry is making anything or anyone in our lives more important than our Savior, our Lord God. Most of what Paul tells us to kill is sexual in nature. Because that's the epitome of idolatry. That's the epitome of idolatry today. Ourselves. Amen? It's the worshiping of self. When God is out of the picture, we pursue whatever most pleases us. We're our own God when God's out of the picture. It's all about what gives us the most pleasure. Amen? That's the identity of society. That's not your identity. Amen? That's not our identity in Christ. He is our everything. He is our pleasure. That's the identity of the world should see. That our own pursuit of our own pleasures is not the driving force in our lives, but the pursuit of godly pleasures. Amen? Our identity should be seeking God and His pleasure. Our identity should be defined as our actions. Should not be defined as our actions either. Paul mentions some actions that identify with the world. Anger, malice, slander, filthy language. How many of y'all know Christians that still cuss? I better not be the only one up in there. Some hands up. How about there at home? How many of y'all know Christians? Some Christians that still cuss? Hey, I still know some pastors that cuss. Not necessarily a good thing if you read what Paul says, is it? That's definitely one of the actions that shouldn't define us. And the last one was filthy language. All of these are actions taken by people who have no hope or faith or view of God. Paul says you took all that old stuff off when you died in Christ. That stuff should be history. You're a new person now. Don't act like you're still dead. Amen? Don't let those things be your identity. Don't let it be the fact that you might see a pastor that you know very well and you see them out and they're drinking. I've seen that too. Not a good identity. Because that's the identity that somebody outside the church relates to them and whatever church they're in is the fact that they were out there drinking, not the fact that they followed Christ. Amen? finishes off his section, verse 11. 3:11 says, "Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." Amen. Christ is your everything. Christ is my everything. Amen. Our race isn't your identity anymore. Our nationality isn't our identity anymore. Your position in life is not our identity anymore. Our position in society, not our identity anymore. Amen. Your identity itself is wrapped up in Christ. So what do we need to do to make our identity plain to see? What do we need to still kill off in our own lives so that the world only sees God and Jesus as our identity? What adjustments do we need to make so that there's no doubt as to who we belong to? No doubt that we're going to heaven when we die. No doubt that hell ain't got a chance of getting us. What sin are we still battling against? Who we really are. If we're a Christian, you are identified in Christ. Let's make sure the world recognizes our identity. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I again thank you for getting me out of the way today, Lord, and allowing your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word spoken and not mine, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for being our true identities when we come to know you as our Savior, Lord. Lord, I ask you just to put an urgent need on each one of our hearts, Lord. Lord, whether we're living that identity to the fullest, Lord, or whether we're lacking in it, Lord, we can all grow in your mercy, your grace, your love, Lord, and our identity to the society when we're outside the church walls, Lord. Lord, we ask you just put that desire burning fresh and a flame in each one of us, Lord. Lord, as always, I ask that you put somebody in front of us this week, Lord. Lord, that we can truly show our identity has changed, Lord, for the better, Lord. Lord, that they would see us as a peculiar person and want to know what changed, what's different about us, Lord. What little crazy thing that we might have going on, Lord. And give us the opportunity to share that it's not a crazy thing. It's a Jesus thing. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do for us. In your name I pray. Amen. Everybody stand for our final song. Nana? Come on, Nana.